Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Noh from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
I think you're sangria. You're like a sangria. Like, you are the human version of sangria. Do you think that?
Just all kinds of crap mixed together into one can.
No, just like sweet and fun and a good day hang.
Man, I need to have you. Like, I need to put that on.
Devil's River is going to kill me. Don't
no,
kill me, Devil's River. I love them.
No, they're not.
They love you. They know you. You know them.
You're
they
giving
love you.
Me Devil's River, too, so it's fine.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
We were just basically before this talking about everything we knew about prison. We seem to know a lot from people that have never been to prison.
I've only liked what I see on A&E, and they like to do the shows where it's like, okay, we're going to take you in prison. And then it's like, I don't know. That's all I know of what prison is. And it's probably not true. It's like watching a reality show. That's a reality show.
Right. Or they have to behave for the camera. So it's not really, I don't know, but it was,
it's like, and they always almost show a fight where it's like, oh, there's some beef. And then it just goes to where they're like, and it goes behind like some door and it's like, rah!
Yeah. And I don't know what order these episodes are going to air, but we were just talking to Johnny Burke and then Django's like, well, I have to follow prison.
Yeah. I don't have anything like remotely close to that. Not like that. That's cool. We just said it's not necessarily that it's cool.
No, it's not cool at all.
It's not cool.
And he said he didn't smile for 3 months. And I was like, oh, because you were so unhappy. He's like, no, because you would get your ass kicked if you smiled. And Django's like,
I would have died.
Minute one. You're a big guy. And you'd be like,
well, beaten up.
Django's smiling again. Yep, like, come on. Yeah, that was rough stuff. I'm glad he's here because there was fights and blood and I didn't want to go too much into it. So now we just get to talk about rainbows and butterflies. And
love that.
Wine.
That's right where I live is in the let's not talk about anything sad or.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. Happy. Did you bring? So I am sponsored by Devil's River Whiskey. You know
that.
This.
I do know this.
I feel like in my contract, there's like a little tiny asterisk and it's like, but you can talk about other alcohol if it's Django Walker because they love you. And how
we don't compete.
Totally. No.
Right. Like, it's like, I didn't bring you Django Walker whiskey.
Correct.
I brought a sangria wine.
That's got a nice ring to it.
Django Walker whiskey.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
you know,
they could be a branch of Devil's River.
Yeah. I mean, if Devil's River wants to, you know, it's always nothing's off the table.
But I feel like you brought a box, but you don't have
to. It's just a gift. We don't even have to talk about it. It's just a gift.
But that's so nice because you drove all this way and then you brought me stuff to do something for me. Like, I feel very.
I mean, I am dropping other cases off. I don't want, you know, like.
Okay.
It was in the car and I added 3 extra cases.
You're like, okay, here you go.
No, it was like, well, I'd love for you to have some and you can try it.
Thank
you. You know, spread the love.
I've actually tried it. You might not remember, but I tried it at Saxon Pub. You came to see me, but you had been playing the UT tailgate all day.
Ooh, yeah. No. That's what we like to call a gray out.
Gray out.
Yeah.
Not quite a blackout.
No. You remember moments and snippets, but you don't.
Yeah.
You're not fully there.
It was the best because I was sitting in the green room just like ready to go on stage. And you walked into the green room and you go, Bree Bagwell. And I was like, who is this man? And it was so sweet. But he's just saying like an operatic version of my name. Yeah. Gray out. Anyway, you made me try all of the big hat drinks.
At once?
At one time. And give you honest feedback. Yeah. And anyway, everything was fantastic, of course. And I
had sangria wine there?
Yeah, I thought. Wow. No, yes, because you had just gotten the cans or something.
Wow.
Does this make sense?
Kind of, like anyway. I say. You sounded great that night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't think you stayed for the show.
There's a good chance, no telling what happened that night. Once again.
No, but you are definitely like really tied into the UT. And you have the Longhorn song, which was very great job.
Thank you.
But I think about it a lot, but I think like A&M, you know, they really rally around their Texas country singers. And I really want UT to rally around Texas country singers. Like, here I am. Like, let's all do something together.
I hope, you know, they're just such a big entity.
Yeah.
That it's like, I'm not saying that A&M isn't, I want to start that thing.
No, we're not. But, we like everybody.
We're fine. But they just, it's hard to get them to do a lot of things.
Or they're like, we're going to get Carrie Underwood. We don't really need Brie Bagwell, but I think they do.
Yeah. I mean, like that Longhorn City Limits and stuff, like I still think personally it should be a very, you know, a lot more Texas music involved in that, you know, because they're getting like Midland and some of those bands, and not that they're not great again.
Yeah, they are
great. It's just, it's that same thing of, you have a platform, why don't you showcase some of these Texas artists?
Do you know how much my out-of-state tuition was?
No.
I don't really either, because my dad paid it, but just kidding. I do know how much it was, and it was a lot of money. And I think that I love my school, so I think we could maybe find ways to like leverage that.
I'm hoping. I mean, I'm going to go to them. You know, after doing the song at the Texas Tech game, like on the field and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go to them and be like, okay, look, first of all, I don't know why this isn't like a sanctioned University of Texas song now. Like, I've just kind of let it be a grassroots thing for forever. But mm-hmm. now it's like the kids sing it. They make videos. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, you're playing it in the stadium. I just did it to a drone show at the game. Like, I think we should do this. And then with that, I'm hoping it can kind of maybe spiral into a, like, where we start getting more. I want to raise the money. I told them, I'm like, look, I don't need the money. So let's do it.
I need the money. But what about me?
But no, we got to start with baby steps.
Right, right.
And then
right.
we'll go. And then turn it into where it sanctions into more Texas events and things of that nature, too, of like alumni things and yeah. Texas X's and all those. And then it turns into where obviously we're getting our gig money from it, but we're not. I told them with the song, I was like, let's just either take it towards NIL, because that's a thing,
yeah.
or let's take it towards a charity, like, you know, and like, let's take the money from that and do that for the song.
I love that idea. I'm a charity.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Of your 401.
It's Brie Bagwell's RV.
right. Right.
Sponsored by the Texas Longhorns and Jingo's right. song about it.
Which has a nice ring to it.
I know.
Nice ring to it.
I know. Well, good for you. I was thinking about you today and what we were going to talk about and stuff. And I told Rachel, I was like, Jenko gave me my first prednisone
back in
the day.
Ah, the old prednisone.
Do you remember? Yeah. It felt very drug dealish in the middle. Yes. Would you stop? You are, no, Rachel, auntie. Okay, hey.
Like a dog, a dog being a dog. It's like, what do you want me to do?
She doesn't
need to be a dog.
It is only Vans, huh?
You know what I'm saying?
You wanted her to lick that?
I kind of regretted that as it started happening. I was like, all right,
yeah, she's on a lot of antibiotics right now, so there's some things going
good.
On.
Me
I'm
too.
Sorry.
Look, we're in the same boat.
Yeah, well, you gave me my first Preddy.
Yeah.
But I am saying this to singers, really use them sparingly. It's not something that you use all the time, but I do, like, I have a twice a year moment where, and you're like, just hour before the show, you're going to be singing like a bird.
It's crazy.
It really, but don't, then you do sing like a bird and you might overuse your muscles. So just be careful.
Yeah. And then and there's all this, I mean, you know, like cataracts are involved in it, and it's bad for your bones. Like, if you take it very, very regularly, like, no, I mean, like, if you take, that's why I say,
this whole
that's
time?
Why we say take it sparingly. Like,
oh, yeah.
Don't take like 100 milligrams a month or whatever. Like, these are like, I mean, I probably shouldn't be saying whatever.
I take it like twice a year. Are we allowed to give
busted? No, yeah, I'm not going to get busted, but I go to Mexico all the time and just get the 5 milligram prednisones from in Mexico, like Cabo.
Same.
And I don't fly back with them, but somehow they make it back to here. And I just take those like a couple times if I'm in struggle, like where I say if I've sang five times in a week and I have to do it again,
yeah.
It just takes the inflammation out of your
Yeah, throat. I know. I agree. Anyway, but thank
I'm
you.
I'm glad I introduced you that.
Thank
I introduced
you.
Beckman
now
to
I have
it
cataracts.
Beckman. I introduced Beckman to it. Well, good. We'll all be in the same cataract surgery together.
My bones are breaking. Thank you. No, I'm totally joking. But tell me now about this sangria adventure. And are you enjoying being a alcohol distributor?
Oh, I love it. No, I mean, it's fun. It's a whole new chapter, a whole new thing, a whole new experience. You know, I did this just because I was trying to think about how to keep my dad's legacy going. Not that it needs it by any stretch of the imagination. It's just one of those things that I know as time moves on, people begin to forget, and I didn't want that to happen. So I knew the song. My best friend and business partner in this has owned a wine company for 22 years. And I just went to him one day and was like, hey, I have this idea. Jerry Jeff Sangria Wine. They tried to do it with him alive like 25 years ago, 25 years ago. And it was like in a bottle. And then like it had this label on it. And then like my dad looked like the pig from like Looney Tunes.
Oh,
like, Mom,
no.
That's all, folks. And he was like coming out of the bottle. And he's like a cartoon character. And literally me and my mom were like, no.
Veto.
We nipped it right in the...
It's got to look cool because he's cool.
Yeah. And that's what I always said. And it's just got to be that, like... So I went back to him. I was like, look, here's how we do it. I think. Can it? Real red wine. Like, get fruit oils to make the flavor for it. And then we sangria wine.
Yeah.
And that way it can be like shelf sustainable and all the things, you know, because if you put real fruit in it, obviously it's going to perish.
Right.
And we've kind of just been taking it from there and having fun seeing where this spider web goes.
I love that. I mean, who wouldn't buy something from you?
From me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a terrible salesperson.
You're like, just have it for free.
Like that's pretty much the way I'm just like it. I don't like the word no. And I don't do well with people not liking things that I'm
that you've created.
That I've created.
Yeah.
And so the feedback of like when people are like, oh, it's super sweet or like da 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 da, I'm like turtle and I like go like into my little like I just sink in and I go, I can't do it. I'm getting better at it and just learning like, you know, that lesson of you're not going to make everyone happy and it's not for everyone, you know?
Right.
Like
and there's plenty of room.
Yeah.
And there's also like the thing with wine where I'll never forget when I went to Fredericksburg one time, the first time I went with Paul, but he's really into really good wine, you know, and then there's this cowboy guy sitting next to us and he was just like, I wouldn't say cowboy guy. That's the wrong description. But what I want to say is inappropriate. But he was just like, you know which winery is good? This stuff is trash, but this winery is good. And he named the worst one in Fredericksburg with like just the most, in my opinion, yeah. You know, the just the most terrible, super like, you know, candy sweet wine. And he's like, this wine. And he's like, this is trash. You're like, and that's the moment that you realize like, oh, hey, people's tastes not only are a little bit different, but perhaps polar opposite of yours.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And that there's a market for that. And there's a market for this.
Well, you know, the one that like really pisses me off is like when people go like, oh, man, your sangria is super sweet. You want a bite of this cheesecake? And I'm like, oh, that's not super sweet.
Right.
Like, oh, it just makes me want to just like where I'm like, are you selectively sweet then? Like, you're eating a bag of Skittles, but you're calling my sangria sweet?
But also sangria is supposed to be sweet. So that's the thing about it, too, where it's like if you gave me a... Right? Isn't it supposed to be sweet?
100%.
So I don't understand where the argument there... I mean, I'm talking about the people that call like...
expecting like... I don't know what people expect. I think...
They're tasting it to like tobacco spit and country music.
I don't know. I also just think like that they don't really know what sangria is. All they think is probably wine. And for a wine, I guess it's sweet, but whatever. And I think that just people love to have an opinion. I think it really is what it comes down to.
So
sometimes.
What you're telling me is it's a lot like being a musician where people are like, let me tell you how to do your thing.
Oh, yeah. Do I have a song idea for you? Oh, man. Do you really?
Oh, my gosh. And the thing about yours, too, which is the thing about like when you put out a record, is like it's already a finished product.
Yeah.
So your opinion is really like this is done.
Yeah. But just people just have to have it. And like, I guess that's the way of the world now or whatever it is that like they have an opinion, they have a place to voice it. So they're going to do it and whatever. Like, and once again, I mean, but you live and you learn. So we just, I guess this will be the first place that knows it. We just found this place out of New York that is making us a monk fruit sweetened version of this same sangria. So now we are going to be 4 grams of sugar and 104 calories.
Oh my gosh. That's in my,
we just got the samples last week.
That's in my calorie sugar range. Not that this podcast is about me. Wait, this is about, who's this podcast about? Is this about me or you? Anyway, I'm a fan of that. Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to sponsor this amazing podcast, all you have to do is email onlyvanspodcast@gmail.com. One of the other drinks that I know was sweetened by monk fruit, I thought, one of the big hat drinks.
One of the big hats? No, they're all just regular, like, they're all regular fruit sweetened.
Okay. Well, that's incredible. Great job.
Thank you.
When does that happen?
Probably March of next year.
Wow. Is it a different label or brand? Nope. Or is it
same We're just going to do the same one. We're just going to kind of, I mean, we found this guy. He's called the Can Guru. I don't even know his name. Like, he's like this. And we went to him and I was like, you know, our complaints that we took on were too sweet, too much sugar. And so we're like, okay, well, we can figure out a potential way to get around this. I mean, we still want it to have all those qualities. Like I say, a sangria wine is sweet and it's supposed to be fruit flavored. Delicious. And citrusy and good. And so we did all that, but we found this guy and he was like, yeah, I can, we tried like 4 different variations. So he sent us stevia, they sent us monk fruit, they sent us this new one that was whatever. And like all of them had that
weird aftertaste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The diet. Aspartame. I think it's aspartame.
But I know what you're talking about.
And it all had that, you know, I call it the Diet Coke flavor.
Uh-huh.
And no offense to Diet Coke, but
they don't sponsor this podcast.
I don't, but if they were, I don't want it to be an issue. Yeah. Like if they come along. And this monk fruit doesn't. And it's like it's such a sweet fruit that it really gave the body that you need. Cause like, that's the biggest thing about having a real sangria wine too. And that we use real wine, real Spanish wine, is that it has to have body. Like, you know, like I said, if it doesn't, then we're just making like a seltzer at that point, which we're not.
Interesting. I don't know why I can't get the picture out of my head of like a fruit dressed like a monk. And then I was like, what if we had a nun fruit?
It's just praying.
It's just like a nun fruit sweetened. And then I was like, I need to pay more attention to what we're talking about.
Your brain just went completely
I just thought
off.
I would point it out.
You know, my favorite beer is made by Belgium monks.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Chimay. You ever heard of it?
What does bechamel mean? Isn't bechamel a thing? Kyle, cut this part out. Oh, I'm thinking of a steak sauce.
You think of a steak sauce? No. So Chimay is this amazing brewed, and it's made brewed by Belgium monks. And so these little celibate monks are just up there making the best beer in the world.
Well, that's amazing. And don't quote me on this, but Spanish monks planted the first grape like vines in southern New Mexico when they came up from Mexico, and they were from Spanish monks,
so you make New Mexico wine?
They do have New Mexico wine now. I don't personally make it. I would like to.
Do you try it? Have you had it?
But I partake in it.
Have you had it?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I love it.
What kind of varietal is it?
Don't remember.
Okay.
But Paul's going to kill me. Yeah. Can we try it?
What? The sangria?
Did you bring it?
Yeah, it's better cold, but we can try it. I mean, it's still fine warm. It's red wine.
Can I have it? Yes. We're going to do a taste test, and I'm going to be like, just let me tell
you
what
exactly
going
to say that, I bet. But then you have to know that there's a low-calorie monk fruit sweetened one coming. I should just brought that.
I don't care.
I have one little vial left.
I like this one. I know what I'm getting into. I know what I picked. I didn't pick a dry cap.
Look what showed up into the thing. Oh, how weird.
So weird. Are you tired of this? People are just like, taste your own thing, and you're like, I've tasted it.
Oh, no. I mean, it's one of the things that I've learned now, especially like now that we've got it in, like, because we have it in like Mean Eye Cat, Don's Depot, Deep Eddie Cabaret, which is a bar. Calm down. it's just called Deep Eddie in Austin. And so like, I'll walk into like Mean Eye Cat and they're like, sangria. And I'm like, I guess so. Like, yeah. I mean, it's in here now. So
right,
I have
right.
to drink it.
So. That is very interesting. You're like, can I just have a whiskey, please?
Yeah, sometimes or
like,
I just want a beer. But
can I have a
point,
bechamel on draft?
And you know what I've really been enjoying with these is like, we can stop talking about this.
No,
after this,
I'm here to talk about it because
I mean, we can talk about, you know, like music too. Or
yeah,
or,
I definitely have it on my list to talk. Oh, I just looked at prison, but this is Johnny's cheat sheet. So no prison for you.
Like, okay. I mean, we can talk about it. I told you. 8th grade.
Okay.
Oh, that sounded good into the
I know.
Into the thing. You're mm-hmm. a professional.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Don't be rude. Oh, start with some apple and wine.
So I did the
That's just delightful.
It's great. Like there's just no problem.
Who would say that's too sweet?
People.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like I say, and then literally.
You can really taste the apple.
Then literally I'll watch them like grab a chocolate brownie and eat it right after it. And I'm like, okay. I think you're just being picky at this point. Like either you just say you don't like the sangria. Don't say it's too sweet.
But don't you know, sweet. I mean, what and sangria
like,
was
like,
to.
And like full disclosure, like now that we have the lower calorie one coming out and doing all that, I mean, it is a lot of sugar. I told my business partner, Alex, I was like, buddy, it is a lot of sugar.
You know what though?
Do you want me to tell you how much?
No, I absolutely don't. No, 11 grams is not a lot.
Oh, that's 11 grams per serving.
Oh, how many servings? 84 servings.
No, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Oh, 2.5. That's fine. It's less than a Coke.
Sure. What's a Coke?
60.
How much? 60. Oh, yeah.
It's less than a Coke.
Fine.
Listen. We're not here to bash your own drink.
No. I'm saying we're changing it. It's still fantastic.
Yeah.
I really do think it's like every time I drink it.
It's really good.
I usually cut mine with like Topo Chico now too, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So you do like get a 16-ounce glass, pour this in, cut it with some Topo.
Yeah.
It's even better.
I love it. I'm really going to enjoy this in here. Thank you.
Your nails are bomb, by the way. Those are awesome.
These are stickers.
Okay. I was like, what person does your nails? That looks like what are you in there for 14 hours a session?
Get up in here close so you can see how they're stickers.
I still can see. You've done a great job. Oh, yeah, I do see. Okay. So you sticker them on?
Well, you heat them up with a blow dryer and then you stick them on. But listen, I'm a musician by full time.
Yeah.
I don't have.
No, you don't say.
I had one sangria. Listen, I'm a musician full-time.
Oh, full-time.
I don't have nail money, but I do get my toes done. That's where I draw the line.
Like you have to have your toes.
I'm not scraping off my own like foot calluses. Like I'm not doing that.
No, I mean every time I go into one, I just go like poor lady.
That you poor go you lady. Get pedicures?
Yeah.
I knew it.
Why? I look like a pedicure because my legs cross like this.
No, I feel like you're a groomed human, but I also feel like you're the person who's not like, I'm too cool
my
to get a pedicure.
Says otherwise.
You're just not like, I'm too cool to get a pedicure. You're just like, I will gladly go get a massage and have someone rub my feet.
Yeah, when
like,
they rub that lavender whatever on your leg all the way up your calf, you're like, yeah, no, I could... I'm good.
My and the chair's getting in there, and you're like going
Do you
like
feel
this.
That? Do you feel my phone going off on your booty?
I was doing this, and it was like a real-life experience. Do you need to take that call?
Just checking.
Okay.
Sangria stuff.
For the next podcast, can we be sitting in pedicure chairs?
I love that. I love everything about that.
Yeah, I do too.
I think the sweet little ladies that are doing our feet are going to probably be like, what is going on right now?
Yeah.
Like, this is another level of foot hell.
No. I think they'll love it.
I don't think they like... Do you think they like what they do?
I read this whole article
like
about...
Like, 20 feet a day?
My thing is, I don't think that I have the worst feet that day.
Right.
So, whenever I'm in there, I'm like, this is probably fine because, like, there's like, men in there.
Like, I'm coming in after. That's what you're saying.
This big, giant, bearded man comes in drunk on sangria, and they're like, oh, again.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
You know, also have really ticklish feet. So, like, they hate me because it's like, as soon as they get that little scrubber out on the side, oh, yeah, I'm a kicker. Like,
kick
I'm
her
one
right
of those.
In the face. Yeah.
And she's looking at me like, if you bust me in the face, I swear to God, it's over. Like, the minute you kick me in the face, we are done. Like halfway through or not, like 1 foot or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just love that you go, and I think we should normalize men taking care of their feet, because when you're a girl and you're like dating a guy, there's nothing worse than a guy with like, you're like, you're pretty cool and you're pretty hot, and then you have gross feet. It's like a gay, that is a game over for me.
Yeah.
So just go get them done.
I don't do my nails though, which I should, but my nails are terrible.
No, they're totally fine.
You think so?
I wouldn't define those as terrible. Like, right. Long with stuff under like them is terrible.
B minus, maybe.
Let me get up in here.
They're just
they're
short
fine.
And like I don't.
That's do like a man's nails should be. It's a great job.
All right, thank you. I can't do the both. Like by the time I get in there, I'm just like, all right, I can do the feet. It's like it seems like the manicure part of it seems like work.
It's work, but also they soak your hands in water, and it's bad for your guitar calluses, so that's why I don't get my nails done mostly. Do you want to talk about any other parts of your body?
No, I don't know. I mean, it's your podcast. I'm just flying with it right now.
Like, I'm having a great time over here.
You
on this.
Started with the talk of pedicures.
5.7%.
Yeah, that great. Seems about normal.
I'm super happy for you.
Thank you.
Okay, so do you want to talk music things? We're almost out of time. What are you doing musically? What's going on there?
You know, I have a new record that I finished 2 years ago that I'm still trying to figure out how to put out. Maybe I'll call you because I feel like you're probably pretty good at that.
I'm the worst at it. Are you out of your mind?
Really?
I mean...
Like knowing how to put a record out nowadays?
I actually know a secret, but I didn't do it with my own record, so I'll tell you about it. Okay. Well, Jade talked about it on our podcast,
really? But
yeah, it's not really a secret, but I can tell you how.
I feel for the first time that like I feel old.
Oh yeah, me too.
Like where I'm just like, what do you mean you don't get in your car and drive to the radio station and play a single on the air? That's what we did in our day.
I know.
Like, and I'm like, oh boy, like now I feel like the grays in my beard are there for a reason. But I don't want them to be because I feel like, you know, I'm still making music and still enjoying writing and making music. So I want to put it out and I want it to have a chance. I just don't know how to give it a chance.
Yeah, I know. You know? And apparently there's like, you can pay to be on these big playlists like that's, but no one will tell me how or which ones.
I've got, okay, now that I found an in, I think.
Okay.
So we'll trade information.
Will you pay for it via the Longhorn Fund charity?
There you go. The Django Walker NIL Fund will be like for musicians.
Texas musicians, payola playlisting.
Right, right.
Which I think is illegal, but
we'll
not.
Start our own label.
Okay.
But it like won't be, it'll just be like a funded label.
Okay. This is sounding great because there are so many secrets now. And it's like right when I put out my record, it was kind of when like the labels were holding that trick tight to them and then it became out in the open. And now, so I released my record the wrong way. And so I got a big Spotify following, which naturally like dropped right off as soon as I didn't release new music a few months after. So I'll share that.
Is that
with
part
you.
Of the deal too, that you have to like release music consistently to keep the followers?
Yes.
Yuck.
That's what I say. And then everyone's like, just do it. And I'm like, wait, am I not allowed to say yuck? And I don't like this. It's super weird. It's like, can I just be like, other people said it when I was young and I was like, well, they don't get it. Can't I just be like, I don't like this? But no, you can't. If you want to play the game, you have to play the game. And it's like,
you're right.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
But you're right. If you want more people to hear it, then you have to do it this way. Anyway, we don't have enough wine for this.
I mean, so that's what I'm doing.
It's done?
I will release a record, yes. It's 13 songs.
Oh, my gosh.
I wrote 12 of the 13. I did one Channing Wilson song called Trainwreck.
Is it about me?
It's about self-inflected, I think. Self-reflection. But I love the song. And, like, when I lived in Nashville, he had it cut by, they were cut by a band called, oh my God, what was his name? It was John Stone. He had this like, anyways, Then a girl named Ashlyn Kraft.
Oh, yeah.
Recorded it and put it out as a single. And I was like, oh, man. And it died at, like, you know, the old typical died at 45.
Right.
On the chart. And so I just went back to him. I was like, do you mind if I do it my way? And so we did it. But I don't know. I love the record. It's very, like, singer-songwriter.
Yes.
Very, like, all the songs I feel like have good, well-written that I kind of did. And it's not like... There's nothing really like super up tempo-y on it. I hope it's got good lyrics and everybody wants to do it. And that's, I think that's the other thing is that when you're going to release it, you have to figure out how you're going to get it to the people that actually matter that you're going to play. Cause you can get it on the Spotify playlist with Morgan Wallen. Nobody that listens to Morgan Wallen is probably going to like my music. That's the way I think in my head. And I'm probably right in my head, but the people listen like Jason Isbell.
Right.
Probably like my music.
I can't wait. I think you are such a great songwriter and you are super fun. And you're like we talked about you being like the best days are like Django Hang days. You're the most fun person. But then you are like, you're not the songwriter that's just like fun and blah, blah, blah. Like your songwriting is kind of a different thing of who you are. Maybe like it's like the balance to who you are or something.
Yeah, I can't write a fun song.
Right. Because you live a fun life. So yeah. It's like the other... part of your personality or something comes through in your songwriting.
Yeah, it's weird. I like thought about all the time. People were like, man, I was like, look back at all of my records always and I was like, I didn't write a funny song or a fun song on this record. Does that say something? But I don't know.
No. And I think that the pendulum is swinging and people are loving singer-songwritery things more than, you know, pickup truck tailgate stuff and really diving into that, you know. So I think it matters and I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think there's just an avenue for everything, you know, I go, and I think it depends on where you want to be and where you want to go musically. Like I stopped wanting to, I don't enjoy the loud, big bar show anymore. I just don't enjoy it. Like I can go do it if I have to and put my band together. And
right.
I just go, man, whenever I go and play like these more intimate listening things and stuff, I just enjoy it so much more.
It's the soul shows. And that's me too. You know, for a long time, I feel like people were like, that's the, you know, the beer pressure, whatever. I played the festivals and it was like in your face and rock and roll and fun. And we all did that. And then the older you get, the more you appreciate the listening audience with the people that really care about the songs. And even if there's not as many people there and they're paying attention and stuff. And we're going through that phase of life where people are taking us more seriously as a songwriter too. You know, you have to have X amount of records before people are like, oh, Django's not just like the most fun person. He's like a really great songwriter. And not that they didn't before, but you know what I mean? It's just people kind of, you turn this corner and I've seen you turn that corner for a while.
Well, I think our scene just, it materializes itself to bar and that, and it's sort of like, that's great. And we all done it and we all will continue to do it. And the younger generation will continue to do it as they should.
Yeah.
And it's just at some point you just go like, you realize like, I enjoy the reason I started doing this was to sing songs that I wrote and enjoy myself while doing it. And I find that in, when I go into a room and I want to start curating that thing where it's like, okay, if you want to come out, you really want to have a good night and we will tell stories and laugh and have fun. And it's not going to be this, like, I'm not going to drop a razor off at every table for you to kill yourself or anything like with my sad songs.
Right.
Like it will be fun, but I don't want it to be where like a full band, two electric guitars, like, you know, shots in between every song.
Right. Yeah, and no one's really paying attention, yeah. And I leave there feeling like I had to drink to get through it or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I'm on that train with you. Well, invite me anytime, okay. Especially if it's in Belize.
Okay.
I haven't been.
You haven't been?
No.
All right. Was that a subtle dig to come this year?
I invited you to this podcast.
I got a four-bedroom house.
So. I invited you to invite myself.
Right. It's a long play.
I got free wine. Going to Belize. You're like, yeah. I'm never going to see Bree.
Like, this escalated quickly.
Yeah. My dog licked your hand after. It's fine.
Oh, it's all good.
Okay.
I love dogs, so.
Yeah. Know, and you got a puppy already or you're getting a puppy?
I've done the fifth. Adopting a dog, they do not make easy. Like, if I can imagine children, because I've gone through this process, I'm like, children better be 20 times harder than this. But this is like literally like that I had to fill out this like 9-page form. Then I had to send pictures of like every single side of my fence. And then like I accidentally put like, what would your dog be doing? And I was like, well, it'll be probably like taking on runs. I'll take it to like water because my old golden loved water. And I'll probably take it like on some hunts. And they're like, what do you mean by hunts? And I'm like, well, my buddies own like ranches and like I always take my dog to the ranches. And they're like, well, some dogs have traumatic about da da da. And I'm like, fine. If they don't, I'm not saying the dog's going to like pulling birds out of the thing. I'm just saying he's going to be on a gigantic ranch running free. That seems like a great place for a dog to be.
This is insane.
And then like the lady called me, and then this is great. She called me yesterday and she's like, hi, such and such from. And she goes through this entire list of things like, well, what would you do for a dog? What if the dog was having traumatic issues? I'm like, well, I'll do whatever. Like, I've owned a dog for like, shouldn't my track record of owning a golden for 14 years and making it live to 14 be a good enough parameter? Guess not. And then finally at the end of it, she gets done with the interview and she's like, great. And she gets done. She goes, oh, by the way, me and my husband love your music.
I'm like, she knew who you were the whole time.
Shouldn't that be enough also to know if you love my music? And you know I have a 14-year-old golden. Don't you think I probably passed the test?
Yeah, Rachel got a dog, adopted a dog, and the dog was rescued from a home with like 75 dogs. And they called me as a reference and was like, are you sure she's not just getting a dog because her other one passed away? Like, and I was like, well, if she did, that's none of your business.
Yeah, and also, yes, because she misses the companionship.
She misses the
What a terrible thing.
And I was like, I feel trapped in this question. I feel trapped in this question.
Yeah.
Well.
Now I've passed this phase, I think. I don't know. Then they're going to send someone out to see my house.
No, they're not.
And then it's going to be a like one-on-one. And this is the best part, too, is I started this process because there was a 3-year-old male golden that had been rescued, that just like look like Hunter. You remind me of Hunter. Oh. And that one's gone now. So now what they say too is that they'll match me with my appropriate one. And I'm like, oh, Riri, you're going to match me with what you think I deserve for a dog? I don't think this is how this works.
So. You should tell him, I basically am a golden retriever. Like
yes.
That is,
yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, I don't like going on walks, but I will. I love to sleep.
Right.
Love to eat.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much it. And I love people.
You should be like, I'm giving the dog sangria. Like, what do they want to hear? Like, maybe you should just say something absurd.
I'm like,
that's ridiculous.
I'm like, literally, they called my vet. And, like, they, like, went through my records of my vet. And I'm like, thank God. I'm like, but, like, I was like, I just think when I put father to a 14-year-old golden who passed away a year and a half ago, you should go like, oh man, you had a dog for 14 years that lived that entire time. That's a pretty good parameter for like,
yeah,
you know, for you getting another golden retriever.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wait till you get
and
this dog
a,
to put this podcast out.
Excuse my language, but it's a dog.
And are you paying a lot for this dog?
No, I think like by the end of it, like I paid $50 to put the application in. And then I think you have to pay like, it depends on their year of age of how much you pay, but I think it's like $500.
That's still a lot.
It's a good amount.
Do
of
you
money.
Think that these people like it's
well? Help, then especially then I have to take it to my vet, and then they're gonna have to do like all the tests and the things and the yearly
shots,
checkup
yeah.
and shots, and then it'll be I'll be at probably $1,000.
What if it's a total joke and these people are all just back there giggling like like it's a joke that they play.
Don't know me well enough. Like it goes one more phase longer. And I'm going to be like, keep the $50. Golden had a chance at a great
to have
home.
A great home.
And now you can take this process and let it land in some doofus's backyard who really, you know, because they were like,
who
know,
lied
when,
to you?
When they were like, when they, then this is the part where they're like, well, you know, we're going to need you every time the dog is out of the home, it's going to need to be on a leash. I'm like, what? No, thank you. Like, my golden was the best, and he loved not being on a leash when we were in, like, bars and stuff. And he'd go wander up to people and, like get belly rubs from random people, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to keep my dog on a leash.
This one follows me around the parking lot, and I got, you know, people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, she's so attached to me. But, yeah, like you said, we're trying to make the process of rescuing dogs easier, and that seems like the most complicated thing I've ever heard in my
life.
It's
like, I mean, when you go to like the Pound, it's not that hard.
I know.
It's hard. I mean, it's not, they don't make it easy on you, but like, they're like, yes,
please take these
this
dogs.
Dog and yeah. give it a loving home. It's going to sit in this cement
cage
yeah. for forever. We'd rather have it be at home. That's what I think. I'm like, you know, this dog was just.
Give me the dog. I'm going to lose it.
Yeah. Like Damn. Before I lose all this enthusiasm I had, because I finally wanted another golden retriever.
I know. Finally over the other
way. Or I'm just going to go the total opposite way and be like, I'll go get a puppy then.
Okay, bye.
I don't want the puppy stage, but if you're going to be this way, then I'll go get a little puppy and raise it. And
we'll have to bleep out their name because this is not a glowing review for this company.
Look, they're doing their due diligence. I don't think I said the name of the company.
Oh, I thought you did.
I don't think I did. Nope.
Oh, you were. Oh, you changed it.
No. Oh. That's just what you might have heard.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I did say it then.
I think you said it. We'll have to go back. Listen, Wine, I think we are already timed.
Okay.
Hey, I'm a big fan of you, and this is delicious. It's Thank a really you. Great. I can't wait to taste the new one, but this one's so good. I would drink this all the time. This
I mean, the new one's just, it's really close to the old one. It's just,
cool.
It's got like.
A little healthier.
Yeah, we just changed the sugar, which is all sugar does into this is add that body, that like thick mm-hmm. taste to it. So we found the monk fruit that has like the same kind of body. It's going to be a little less body, but it tastes as good. And it's just that thing of like we thought, and it's true that like you got to compete with like, you know, if you're going to compete with High Noon and like all those Epic Western and all those things. You got to be about 100 calories and you got to be some lower sugar. And like you say, I think for like you or anybody that goes, well, I mean, it is kind of sweet, but if it's only 100 calories, like then I could drink four of them and not feel bad.
Yeah. And a monk made the fruit.
Right.
Who doesn't like that?
It's been blessed.
I think you're sangria. You're like a sangria. Like you are the human version of sangria. Do you think that?
Just all kinds of crap mixed together into one can.
No, just like sweet and fun and a good day hang.
Man, I need to have you. Like, I need to put that on. I know.
Devil's River is going to kill me. Don't kill me, Devil's River. I love them. No,
no, they're not.
They love you. They know you. You know them.
You're giving me Devil's River too, so it's fantastic.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, there's some right there. Just don't take my favorite bottle, but you can have the other one.
What's their favorite bottle?
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
All of them are my favorite.
Agave bourbon. Yeah. That sounds nice.
We should try it.
Is it good?
Oh my gosh. It's so good. Thank you for coming and being sweet. And he has some deliveries to make in New Braunfels. So.
That's right. And then Luckenbach.
And then Luckenbach.
I'm on the road again.
Well, if they don't have Jerry Duff.
Dropping sangria off at Barnes and Then.
Barnes and Then. Just trying to get a freaking dog again.
Well. I can't wait.
To have a golden.
And scene.
There was going to be a better rhyme, but I had some sangria. Okay, bye. Bye. Bye.
Somebody's finding love, somebody's out looking for a fight.